Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 10. We talked about some time ago what to do when the devil attacks you. We said John 10:10, our text says, "The thief comes not but to steal, to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." I believe the Amplified says that you might have it to overflowing, and you have it to the full. And we want to have a full life. We want to enjoy life. We want to have the best life ever. Thank God for the Word of God. And we said to you that the enemy comes to kill and to destroy and kill anything that you have that is valuable for yourself and your family. The devil's going to come and he's going to try to steal that from you. He's going to try to kill you. Some people have noticed that in their own lives. The devil has tried to kill them a number of times. And he couldn't do it because you were able to wake up and people have prayed for you. You believe God. You get back in faith. We also said, proposed this idea that praise destroys the enemy's attack. So our title of our message, what should you do? What should we do when the enemy attacks? And we said there's a spiritual attack going on around the world, locally and in different places that, you know, amongst the church people, within the body of Christ. The devil is attacking people. And there's so many people who don't know that there is an enemy or that the enemy is attacking. And so how can you protect yourself if you don't know that you're being attacked? One good thing about it is that understand to live in the secret place of the Most High. You need to live in the presence of God day and night and devote yourself to God. And that's the way you can avoid being attacked all the time. You know, he's not going to stop attacking you. As long as you live in this world, he's going to keep attacking you. He's going to attack your body and mind. And we talked about, also on the other hand, we talked about taking control over your life. We talked about Matthew 16, was it we talked about? In verse 18, is that it, or verse 19? Verse 19. Jesus said, whatever you permit in your life, whatever you allow in your life, whatever you allow happening in your life will happen, will be allowed in heaven. Whatever you permit, whatever we don't permit. On the other hand, he says, whatever you permit shall be permitted in heaven, whatsoever you bind, whatever you loose. That's what he's talking about there. And it talks about two things, whatever you allow and whatever you don't allow. So it tells us we have a choice. It tells us we have a choice. What happens in your life, you have to take advantage of the keys that he spoke about. He says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We spoke that keys are you know, they infer or they refer to the idea that we have control over something. Keys. God has given us keys for our own lives. Some people have taken advantage of it. Some people have not taken advantage of it. Some people have not been able to understand that whatever goes on in their life, that they have something to do with it. Whatever you permit in your life has to be permitted. God has to permit. Whatever you permit in your life, he has to permit. He's given you a choice. He's given you free will to do whatever. And some people have gotten so far in allowing the enemy to destroy their lives. Now they're confused. Now they're deceived. Their body has deceived them that they can't stop doing certain things. Now their body is king. Or now their flesh is king. Their flesh demands the cigarette. Their flesh demands that you go and fight another escapade of sexual adventure. Now you have to, your whole life is wrapped around that adventure, trying to do that particular sin, commit that certain sin. Now you have to go get that drug. Now you have to smoke that, whatever it is you have to smoke. Now you have to look at those pornographic materials and watch the internet. Whatever it is, or stealing, lying, and maybe also gossiping, whatever. Now you feel that, you say, I can't stop gossiping. Well, God has given you a mouth that you can control. And we can't control. You can't control anybody else, but you can control yourself. So we said, whatever is permitted. So we're working on two messages. We're going to marry those two messages this morning. When the devil attacks, and how you can take control. And we say that people feel that, you know, they don't have any control in their life, so they just let life happen to them. So they don't fight back. They become very docile. They become very, what do you call that when you're passive, kind of a passive lifestyle. So when something happens, you just start crying and just complaining to God. There's no use complaining to God. You can't complain to God. He's given you the keys. And so I wrote this morning, and Pastor Ken reminded you of this morning. I'm going to read that. I wrote that last night, deep into the night. You know what deep in the night means? You know, I have to really, sometimes I study late at night, just get away from all the dogs, and so on. And so I want to just read here what I had put on so that you can understand what I meant. So let's read this here. We said there was nursery this morning. I'm not going to read everything. But the message is you are in control. Many have given themselves over to life-controlling substances or different various kinds of addictions. It doesn't have to be drugs. Could be many kind of addictions. How many people know there's many kinds of addictions? Okay? And you could. I woke up yesterday morning, maybe real early in the morning, about 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I started writing some things down. The Lord began to talk to me about some things. And he said to me, I need to start to obey what I've been preaching. I didn't really like that. But I wasn't having a good sleep. You begin to say, you better take care of your own message. Amen? And so, I noticed that my shirts were getting larger and larger. I'm blaming the washing machine. And that day, said, I complained to the people in the store. I said, you know, these shirts, I don't know what they're doing. They're making them smaller and smaller. Where do they come from, China or whatever? So, anyways, I had to take control over that. Anybody can relate to that? Yeah. And then the devil says to me, yeah, for sure, it's Christmas time. Go ahead and eat all you can. We enjoy a good meal, amen? I'm going to try to enjoy one today without any guilt. And so, anyway, we have here, so people have given themselves over to different kinds of things, addictions and just negative bad habits or negative mindsets. You ever get in a rut? You're bad. You're rotten. Your mind's rotten. You just have bad attitude. Everything's so bad. You know, you get up in the morning. You know, the coffee pot doesn't work right, or the different things don't work right. There's no sugar, and you got to run to the store. Why doesn't anybody else buy sugar? You shouldn't be drinking sugar anyways. And you're having a fight with different things. So. Different mindset, different fears. Some people are controlled by fear. They can't do certain things because they have fear in their life. They can't try a new venture. They can't try a new project. They can't do certain. They can't wear certain clothes because they think, whatever, people can look at me. What if I change my hairstyle and everybody looks at me? I mean, just little things like that tell you that you're controlled by whatever everybody else thinks. And so, people control by anxiety. They have anxiety issues. It seems like the whole world is having anxiety issues. And I believe that's why the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 and 7 that we should cast all our anxieties, all our worries, all our cares, all our worries and burdens on the Lord. One time. just throw it on. If the devil tries to bring it back, he says, nope, I'm not taking that back. I prayed that last week, you remember? And sometimes, you know, you can keep doing the same thing. I'm going to give this back to the Lord. I'm going to, just go ahead and do it once and consider it done. Whenever he brings it back to you, say, no, I'm not taking it back. I gave it to the Lord. And God never forgot about it. And every once in a while, the devil comes around, tells you about stuff in your life that you have to be worried about and concerned. And he tells you different things, and you have to say, well, no, wait a minute. I gave that to the Lord, and I just want to remind you, he's got it. I don't have it. And when you start to worry again and let it control you, then you took it back from the Lord's hands. And you're controlling it in that sense, controlling as far as taking the fear and anxiety back. And then we have the sinful habits. People say things, I can't stop this sinful practice, whatever it might be. They feel like they can't control certain things that are called sins. Well, sin is just something is missing the mark. Whatever God tells you, you know, we're afraid of the word sin. We can't say sin anymore. Not politically correct to say the devil and sin. You can't say certain words in church, different things that the Bible calls sin. And somebody might be knocking at your door if you do certain things. So Jesus said, we read the scripture before, Matthew 16, I believe it is. Can we get it up to Matthew 16, verse 19? Let's go ahead and read this. Let's go ahead and read it, the Amplified version again, so that, let me just tell you, I've been getting good mail on these messages that I've been giving. That people are getting set free because of what I've been teaching every Wednesday. And then we taught it on Sunday. People are literally getting set free. I'm getting set free. How about you? I mean, we all need to be more freer. You're free, but you could be more free. And the fears are leaving. All the anxiety is leaving. All the concerns are leaving. Everything that we're scared. People are doing things. They're working so hard just to try to protect themselves. And God said he's going to protect you. You know that, I think it's Isaiah 54:17, I think it is. That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That which concerns me, the Lord has taken care of, the scripture says. Okay, so I'll give you the keys or authority or control of the kingdom. So you have keys of authority in your own life. You take authority in your life. We mentioned three areas that you take control in. The first thing, of course, is that God has given us authority over the devil. Luke 10:19 says, I've given you power over all the power of the devil. Luke 10:19 says, I've given you power. Can we just go to that scripture? Luke 10:19, we'll come right back to this scripture. Luke 10:19. Jesus said, when the disciples came, Jesus gave the disciples instruction to go out and cast devils out and so forth, so on. And they came back all excited, because the devils were obeying them. And they were not even born again. God, Jesus gave them that authority. But you're born again. You have more authority. He said, listen carefully. I've given you authority that you now possess. Do you possess it now? Yes, you do. To tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, that is Satan and all his kingdom, and nothing will harm you in any way. Can you give me the Amplified version? I want to see the Amplified version, the classical edition, because it just gives you a little extra, helps you out a little bit more. Behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability. Now, you might feel mentally weak. I remember years ago when I felt mentally attacked, mentally weak, this scripture pulled me out of it. I was getting attacked in my mind. I remember the literal, almost a physical attack on my when I was casting a devil one time, and I didn't understand about something, and I could feel that oppression when you're casting the spirit out. I just could sense that, this evil coming over me. And I was kind of half scared. And thank God that God gave me grace and mercy, because I'm just a young man, a young boy, and I'm trying to find my way around, and God will help you. How many know that God will help you when you try to do your best, and you're trying to follow God? And that oppression left. It didn't leave instantly, but it left. Now, some people are walking around with this oppression every single day. Every single day, and they're allowing this oppression to stay there like a cloud. I remember when I got born again, this cloud disappeared and just went away. And it started to come back on me. The Bible says the devil will come back wherever he's been before in your life. And whatever's been on your mom and whatever's been on your dad, that spirit will try to get to you because it's been in your lineage. They're called familiar spirits. They're familiar with your ancestry, with your home, with your mother. They know. You know, that's why people say things, we go to a seance. I heard somebody who went to a seance, and they try to talk to grandpa, and he answers, "Yeah, it's me. Remember that old bag? I got some money in it. Grandpa, is that really you?" "Yeah." And so they try talking to the dead, and the Bible says you're not permitted to talk to the dead. And I know we have in our system, and I say my, but I say, in our First Nation, we have a framework of that in some of our ceremonies where you talk to spirits. Are you here? Because I have friends. I had a friend who was a great traditional, handed down traditional chief of exercising this kind of a lifestyle. He got born again, and the Lord revealed to him about the handed down, like the spiritual spirits that was in his lineage. I remember listening to when Jesus told Joshua, the Bible says in the book of Joshua, he says, will you serve the other gods on the other side of the river, the spirits that your ancestors worshipped, or are you going to serve the God on this side that you now know? He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there are spirits that are there that are going to try to get back to you. So he's going to give you the physical, mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Everybody say, all the power.
All the power.
So he's giving you control that the devil cannot control your life. He can't control your mind. And there's people who are stuck in a hospital. They're in a hospital because they landed there because this is the way they thought all their lives. They're on the street right now. Some people on the street, or some people are stuck in their house. They can't go anywhere because they don't believe they can overcome this. No one told them. I'm here to tell you that God wants you completely be free to follow his plan. And so he says, and a few things shall hurt you, but it won't damage you. No. You see, he says, nothing shall any way will harm you. So who's got control? You do. So if you're afraid to step out, remember the scripture, nothing will harm you if you're going to serve God and his purpose. That's why I want to know if I'm on a journey, if God says to build this and do this and do that, I know I'm going to make it because nothing's going to hurt me. Let's go to Isaiah 54 and 17, and we'll see the scripture here that I was referring to earlier. Isaiah 54, 17. I believe that's the right scripture. So God has given us control. He's given us authority. Who's going to take their key? You have the key to control your life. It said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I like that first part of the scripture because it says nothing. Earlier it says nothing shall harm you. No weapon formed against you that's created is going to harm you. take these scriptures and start to digest them and believe them and take them in and say, I believe that. I'm taking that in. Thank God that there's no weapon. Nothing is going to overcome in my life. And every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the service of the Lord. See, this is what we have, a heritage. God has given us this heritage to become this obedient, or at least this victorious one. We have this victory in Jesus. Let's go over to Colossians 2 and 15. I want you to show us. See, this is a heritage that we received, this heritage that Jesus has given us. We're getting different scriptures to build this foundation. In Colossians 2:15, the Bible says, God disarmed principalities and powers. I want you to understand. In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, we wrestle not again flesh and blood, but all these spirits that he's referring to. So when people read that, they're already thinking that, well, I have to fight against it. No, you're not fighting against this. You just have to take your place in Christ. Because Jesus already defeated them. I said, Jesus already defeated the enemy. And he's under your feet. Now he wants to intimidate you, to control you, so that you don't take your place. He wants to intimidate you so that you don't, well, he wants to pressure you, to push you to your submitted place, under him, so that you don't start using your authority. He says, God has disarmed the principalities and powers. If he's disarmed, then he's disarmed. He has no weapon against you. We just read it. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. And I want to show you, Brother Hagin was saying, he gave us one time this analogy. He says, if someone who is a crippled man come down the road in his wheelchair, he can't walk and can't hardly move his hands, he's got on a motorized vehicle, and he starts threatening you. He's going to tell you what he's going to do to you. He's going to come out of that chair and slap you around and just take your money from you and take your car away from you. And he's sitting there threatening you, and then you're going to go, well, that's how the enemy is. Amen. Yeah. He can't control you. He can't destroy your life unless you go over and live with him. How you do that is you go ahead and go drinking again. You go ahead and live like you used to before. Then he has control over there, because he's control over darkness and you're under darkness. And if you let a little darkness into your life, in your shady lifestyle, then yeah, that's why you don't have control, because you don't have any conviction. You don't have any authority because you're living like him. Let's go. He's disarmed principalities and powers that were rage against us, and made a bold display, a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. In other words, his triumphing over them is our triumph. His victory is our victory. So he triumphed over them. Now you are a victor, as you say, not a victim. No more victim mentality. We're giving that up today. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now let's go over to Colossians 1, 12 and 13 for a second, just to give a foundation again about your authority. Say, I am in control. Say, my mind is my mind. Say, I can think the way I want to think. Say, I think in line with the Word of God. Say, my emotions are my emotions. I can control my emotions. Now, you can't let anger control you. Some people say, well, I beat my wife up because I couldn't control it. And I got so mad. I know she's 120 pounds and I'm 300 pounds or 180 pounds. And you put them in jail where there's big, strong people, muscular people. And all of a sudden, they can control their anger. You can control your anger. You can control your anger if you want to. And so people don't, they say the devil made me do it. So let's understand what we can give thanks for, because we can give thanks. God, I want to thank you. I'm in control this morning. What's that noise? Is that me? Giving thanks to the Father. What about? Who has qualified us, made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people. So what is that inheritance? What is part of that inheritance? Verse 13 tells us. This is what we inherited. The Father has delivered us. So a part of your inheritance, you have been delivered from everything. Now your body doesn't think so. If you're on drugs, your body deceives you that you can overcome it, because you've been believing your body for years, and now your body is controlling your lifestyle. Your body is the vehicle you travel in this life. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says that your body is the vehicle that you travel in here. The other morning, I got up at 6 o'clock, I was going to mention to you, and the Lord began to talk to me, and he began to say, you better write these things down. I control what goes into my body. I control how much portions I eat. I control what I eat. I control when I eat. I control what shirt size I wear. I noticed that it was getting bigger and bigger until I, you know, if I keep going bigger, all you see is my feet, because my shirts will be so long. He says, "Is that who's that? That used to be Pastor Roma. Something took over him." Right? You think about that, you know? People they say, people think they don't notice. Nobody notices. I got a bigger shirt on here. We notice. No, we pick on them, you know. I mean, some of you are my best friends. You're bigger than I am. You know, I mean, I don't have anything against you. It just happened, you know, like, I'm just telling you one thing, because I used to pick on smokers, because they're all quit smoking. Okay, so you're delivered right now from drugs, from alcohol, from sinful habits. You are right now. God has delivered you. But you might not know it. Your mind is not unrenewed, that you don't understand, you don't agree with it in your mind, because you haven't been taught yet that you're in control. You could say no every morning, Jerry. This is not Jerry Goulet I'm talking to. This is another Jerry Goulet. He's in the program. They don't mention the first last names. But I break my anonymity, so I'm taking him in with me. Every morning, you know, I used to constantly say, I'm going to take a drink today. I'm not going to drink. I decided when I was traveling from Toronto, I had a big party. I was feeling so bad. I was just feeling so horrible. What is that called? Remorse? Just so beating myself all the way at the airport. I'm sick. I'm emotionally down. I'm traveling. I'm getting on a flight, and I got a Mickey in my thing. And you know, I'm just coming back home Sunday night. You know, Sundays used to be horrible days for me. I used to hate Sundays. Everything was closed. But now everything's open. I mean, there's nobody around. You go downtown, there's nobody around town. Now everything's open. But I'm traveling down, and I said, you know, this is the last time I'll ever drink. I'm never going to drink again. Lord, God, I didn't know Jesus. I said, God, I'm giving you my life. And I quit to this day here. And I quit. I never drank since then. That was 1977. And I never stopped. And you know, I was a chronic drinker. I drank every day, every single day. I had beers, drink every day. I never stopped. Beer to get up, last thing at night, drink my beer, go to bed, wake up in the morning, drink again. And I'm just young. And I was addicted to it, and I had trauma in my life that I was trying to control the trauma with my drinking. I had to deal with the fear. I had to deal with the anxiety. And you can't get away from anxiety and fear unless you deal with it. Amen. It doesn't go away unless you deal with the trauma. It's going to be there unless you deal with it. And the way you deal with it is you tell somebody. You speak to somebody. Tell somebody, I'm hurting. I'm scared. I have anxiety. I've been abused. I've been sexually molested. Tell somebody. That's how you get set free. And then you forgive people. You forget. You let them go. Say, Lord, I'm going to let them go. I forgive them. I ask you to bless them. That's how you'll be set free. If you don't do that, you're not going to be set free. It's going to always be hounding you. Always be there. That's the way to get free. There's no secret about it. There's no fancy psychological training. You just have to do this. Jesus taught us that. So we're delivered. We're not going to try to get delivered. We have to take control and say, yes, I am delivered. I'm going to tell my body, no, you're not going to take that. You're not going to take that substance. You're not going to go, I'm not going to take you down there to the bar or whatever it is. You're not going to watch that internet anymore, that porn. You know, porn is like you're right in church. There's people that can't stop doing certain things because they gave themselves over to it. There was a pastor that we admired for years when I was a, my wife and I were youth pastors. We admired this young man. He was just so cool and had everything we wanted as he was a good pastor. But he got hooked to pornography while he's a pastor. And he was like that for years. And finally, it took over his life. He lost his wife, lost his ministry, large ministry, international ministry. And he's got himself back up the last 5-10 years ago now, started to minister. But he got back up. But anything can take a hold of you if you're a Christian, born again Christian, if you allow it. If I'm just telling you very short, little, small, little information here that is very powerful, that you can control this stuff. There's people that are controlled by fear. We can't let fear control us, and that's the only thing, you know, fear is the area where the devil has tried to tell people and controls a lot of folks. He has delivered us and drawn us to himself. That's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Notice this, out of the control. Out of the control. Everybody say, out of the control. Say, I am out of the control. No, it says here, dominion of darkness. That's dominion. That's the devil's kingdom. We are out of the control. Now, if you're controlled by it, you're a Christian, it's because you are allowing it. You have allowed the devil or the thinking, your faulty thinking, allow him to control you. I mean, there's a lot of growth. I mean, you're going to have to need help to get along, and I know I understand you guys' position. Like, you need help at the beginning. You need help to stand up. I've been off this for some 40 years. It takes a while to get out. You don't grow up instantly. You need crutches for a while. You need somebody to help you along for a while until you get strong enough. And don't be so, I was talking to somebody the other day, phoning me, and they want to quit. You know, take me to the detox. I said, okay, if you're going to go there, I'll take you there. I said, don't come out. You stay in there. Well, first of all, they don't want to go. But they called me. Just to exercise, if you make themselves feel good, that they did call somebody. But, you know, you can. I mean, you don't have to go to detox to get sober, but it'll help you. You can get sober right now. You don't have to go to Teen Challenge. You don't have to go to AA. You don't have to come to church. You can get right now. But those things are vehicles to help you. If you need the help, go to Teen Challenge for a year. Go there. I encourage you to go there. Go. will help you get out. Get out there. And help you get counseling. We all need the help. We all need the help. We all need the strength to get us through the time. Now, I'm not trying to dissuade people from going to Teen Challenge. You should go. I tell people, if I were you, if you don't want to go to a Teen Challenge, I'd take you to a meeting. I'll go to AA with you. At least you're going to stay sober. You might not give yourself to Jesus completely right now, but you're going to come to a place. I found Jesus in AA. Jesus is everywhere. He's sitting right there in the AA meeting, waiting for people. He'll be everywhere. Like, you can't just discount one thing. Some people have an opportunity. God has given some people an opportunity to go to a Teen Challenge. Some people give an opportunity to go to detox. Fine. But take control back. And get the help. And like I was trying to get to this, like, you have to be humble. Recognize that I can't do this on my own. I need help. That's a small thing to say, right? Big words. I need help. Everybody say, I need help. So we all tell the Lord that a lot of times. Lord, I need help. If you're suffering with some kind of a sinful habit, you're not going to get rid of it unless you tell somebody. Jesus, you know, David said, this sin was burning up my bones until the day I told somebody. Until I told somebody, I disclosed my trouble. I disclosed my heartache, my trouble I had. Tell people I'm hurting. And it'll go away. Right, Pastor Dave? He wouldn't tell it, but he's been off stuff for a long time. Look at him. Amen. He still kept, thank God for Pastor Dave. He's believing God for his son too. And I'm standing with him. And we're all standing with people that we know. There's none of us in here doesn't know anybody who's addicted to something. He's transferred us in a kingdom. You're not under the devil's kingdom now. So it's when you decide to get out of the consecration, get out of the submission, get out of the dedication to God, and then you all of a sudden you find yourself roving into an area where you're not supposed to, into his dark kingdom. Then he's going to control you. Then he's going to control you with anxiety. Then he's going to control you with guilt. Then he's going to control you with condemnation. Then you feel worse, and then all of a sudden, I might as well go ahead and take another one. I might as well just go eat that another whatever I was going to eat in there. You know, we don't want to know the truth. We think, oh, come on, pastors, be a little bit easy on me because, you know, I've had this for all my life. No, we got to take care of this stuff. Okay. We got about 7 minutes left. Can you take some more? A little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. We are in control. We were reading something here out of our Facebook. Facebook's a good place to be sometimes. But, you don't want to be there when bad things happen. I mean, people can be being mean in there. Sometimes it's some of you. Is that me doing that? Somebody's in the back over here. Okay, so God has given us keys. We have to know that we've been given authority. You've been given the right and the privilege to activate the power through the keys of the kingdom. You know, there's many keys that you could use. Thank God. You have keys. So, whatever you allow, God has to allow. People say, take this away from me. No. Take this away from me. No, you decide how you're going to take that away. Somebody's going to help you first. You're going to put yourself, you know, submit to somebody and they say, help me out here. I'm going to submit to you. Here's my keys. I want to stay at your house every Friday night. I feel like drinking. Friday night, I'm coming to your house. Yeah. And so you go to someone's house, and then until, you know, the night's over, then you go back home and you feel real good again. Lock up your fridge every night. Give your husband or wife the keys. Lock up the fridge. Don't go and eat again. after 6 o'clock. I mean, you got to pull drastic measures if you're going to get help. So, so God is not in control over everything, as some people have supposed. Because of a wrong mindset, many individuals think God is controlling every detail of their lives. But he's not controlling every detail of your life. That's why Romans 12, let's go to Romans chapter 12. You know all these scriptures, and sometimes when you apply a scripture in a certain way, you understand a little bit more and more. You think, oh, I knew that scripture from before. All of a sudden, it becomes new again for a certain area of your life. Romans 12 and verse 1. We said two things there before that we can control our natural man. See, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, these are born again, brethren and sisters. I beg you, in view of all mercies of God, that you make a decisive dedication of your bodies. So this is what you do. Say, God, I'm dedicating, you know, we say, Lord, I dedicate my life to you. We pray that prayer, but we don't know what we're asking. We don't know what we're talking about. You say, Lord, I'm giving you my life. And then you go outside, walk out the door, then you start lighting your cigarette right away before you get to your car. And whatever else you're doing. So he says, you have to make a dedication. When you make a dedication to God, you say, God, I won't allow my body to be used this way. I'm not going to use my body, my vessel anymore to be used in this manner. I am the king of this body. I'm controlling it. Now, so you have to do that. So dedicate your bodies to God. Now, you are the king of your body. You control your body. You tell your body what to do. So we're learning more and more about this, that we have to, you know, that's why the Bible talks about in James chapter 3, I believe it is there, that that your body or your mouth or your tongue will control all your body. That's why you can speak to a healthier body. That's why you say, quit saying, my weak eye. And then your body will respond to that. My sore back. You know? My weakness or whatever it is. My defective whatever. Start saying what the Bible says, that God has healed me. And we were talking to somebody yesterday, and the enormous battle, physical battles. The devil attacked that person really, really bad with cancer and different numerous things that most people would quit. And they began to start confessing the Word of God over their lives. And other Christian says, you're lying. You're lying about it. You're not healed. Look at you, still sick. No, we're calling those things which be not as though they were. And first of all, let's not make confession to people that are not in agreement, because you're going to get in trouble. You don't go wrong. Jesus said, casting pearls before swine. You need to appropriately make your confession where you need to make confession, where you don't have to disturb everybody. Just you and God and the devil. He said, no, I don't have to, you know, you could do it sometimes. Don't be a smart aleck, because you can get in trouble, right? So you take your body and you take all your mental faculties and you start controlling that by saying, I'm in control of this. I'm in control of my body. I'm in control of my life. You need to start doing that today. And so the way we do it, let's give you a couple of scriptures and we close with this. Just to remind you this, and we'll teach on it another time. So, so God is not controlling every detail of your life. This is far from the truth. It's not what the scripture teaches us. On the other hand, the devil does not take control over a person's life unless that person's permitted that devil to do it through their ignorance or lack of knowledge, neglect, or just giving themselves over to do nothing about it, or disobedience, or you completely disobey God and you don't do what he says to do. You have to give control over to situations or people or things. You have to give that control over. It's up to us as people of God, what we allow in our lives. God is not going to exercise control over your life outside his will. He's not going to, he wants you. He said, I'm giving you the keys. You're the one that decides. And know that your body is not you. You are not your body. You have a body. Your body is not saved. Your body is not born again. It will want to do the same things it used to do, or whatever everybody else does that are not in the kingdom of God. It'll do whatever it wants to do. It has impulses and different things that it wants to do. Like, for instance, I always say to tell you this, like, I quit smoking for many years. And even after as a Christian, I would go back to smoking once in a while. I enjoyed it. I mean, physically, I really enjoyed a good cigarette. Mmm. After, especially at a coffee, after I eat, get up in the morning, first thing, oh. My body just loved smoking. And I would tell the Lord, I hate smoking. The Lord said, no, hey, you love it. You're not gonna lose it until you get honest about it. You say, yeah, I do. I love it. My body loves it. But I want to quit. And so I quit. I said, body, you're not going to smoke anymore. I don't care how much you scream. I don't care how much if I have a feeling to smoke. I am not giving in to you. I said the same thing to my body last few days ago, that you're going to eat what I tell you to eat. You are not going to the chicken stand anymore. No more hamburgers on the way home that my wife doesn't know about. You know, oh, honey, why aren't you hungry? Well, I'll have it later. Just leave it there. After I ate like a triple-decker burger, it's like, this is not going to matter. And then we go out through the day, we just eat whatever comes to us. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll have that. You want to drink this latte? It's like 300 calories. Whatever it is, you know. I'll have one. I'll have two, matter of fact. One now and one for the road. Right? And then we say, well, Lord, I just give you my life. Right? Yeah, you do. I'm giving you my life, Lord. And then you get sick. Pray for me. Put it on Facebook. Get all your friends to pray for you. The Lord said, no, you start drinking. Stop drinking those things. They're making you sick. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Say, thank God I'm in control. Say, I am in the driver's seat. Say, I'm taking control right now. Say, body, I'm going to control you. I will not allow you to take first place in my life. I control my body's appetites. I control its motives. I speak to my body. Body, you are delivered from all substances and bad habits. Body, I command you to walk in the goodness of God. Walk in the health of God. Body, according to the word of God, you are healed. You are well. Start feeling right now. Thank God I have a body. My body is my vessel. I take this body and I bring it to the Lord and I say, Lord, I dedicate this body to you. I'm going to serve you with this body in the name of Jesus. Thank God I have a strong heart. Say, my eyes see 20/20 or better. Thank you, Lord God, that my ears hear perfectly. Thank you that my blood vessels are taking in blood and flowing all through my entire body. bringing health and healing. Thank God that my knees, my joints are free. Thank God my elbows are free. Oh, I praise you, Lord, that I'm free from all disease, all sickness and all pain. Pain is gone out of my body. Thank God. I have great taste buds. Hallelujah. I enjoy food, but I control what I eat. Say, appetites, you come in line with the Word of God. Eat, but now don't eat too much. Thank you, Lord, I enjoy it. I enjoy food. I enjoy it appropriately. Now I'm going to go and eat. Leave me alone. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for every single person in the name of Jesus. I'm agreeing with them right now. They're controlling. They hear the Word of God. And I believe that there are going to be tremendous, tremendous testimonies of how the sickness has left them, the pain's gone, impulses are gone, appetites are gone. They're there. They're around there somewhere, but they don't control them anymore. Habits, bad habits, sinful habits are gone. Thank you. I'm believing God for every single person as we dedicate our lives to you. Father, we thank you. We dedicate our entire bodies to you, our lives, our minds, our hearts. We give you praise. And those of you that are watching online, if you've never been born again, you said, Jesus, come in my life. I'm asking you to be my Savior, be my Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to hear the Word of God, how God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that He is the Savior of the world. I invite Him in my life. And thank you for the mission that you've given me. Thank you for the gifts that you placed in my life. In the name of Jesus. If there's anybody that's sick in body, you want me to lay hands on you, the anointing is on me right now, I'm going to agree with you. Power of God is going to go into your body and heal you. Is there anybody like that? You want to get healing in your body? Agree with you in prayer. Thank God. Anybody? Anybody here? Let's go ahead and agree with you right now. Everybody? Anybody else? You want the hands laid on you right now? We're going to agree with you in Jesus' name, that the power of God, I'm going to add on to your faith. I believe you're already in faith. I'm going to use my faith. I believe in the name of Jesus. Sickness has to go because of what we know. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, we're going to lay hands on you. Sickness has to go in the name of Jesus. I believe. I believe. Don't you like it when the Lord talks to you and you get confirmation? That happened to me the other day. I was just excited. Woo-hoo-hoo! The Lord, I was just so excited in my spirit that God was talking to me, gave me His word, showed me that He's with me. Oh, man, hallelujah. Glory to God. I was so excited. I just, you know, just jumping up inside in my spirit. Thank God for it. Amen. You kind of get tickled on the inside. Jimmy, we're going to lay hands on you. And all of you, we're going to lay hands on you right now. Let's all pray for them. Father, we want to thank you that every one of these people are redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible says, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we permit shall be permitted in heaven. We do not permit sickness. We bind sickness and disease and pain and agony. In the name of Jesus, you said that we have the keys of the kingdom. We command the spirit of sickness and disease to leave, to dissolve. Sickness to dissolve. Pain to go. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke. Hallelujah. Amen. Jimmy, say, I'm healed.
I am healed.
In Jesus' name, there it is, Jimmy. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. There it is, Jimmy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Melody, glory to God. Say, I'm healed.
I am healed.
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
I receive that.
I receive
by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. That, there it is. Say, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus. I believe right now, with all my heart, Jesus' word. Ha, ha, ha. Sickness has to go. Hallelujah. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. There it is. Woo! Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, it shall be, even as you said, the Lord says. It shall be even as you said. Even as you've been saying. It shall be. It shall come to pass, says the Lord. Just the way you said. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Healing in the name of Jesus. Father, the master plan. The master plan. The master plan. The master plan. Glory to Jesus. There is a kingdom. There's a kingdom. Woo, brakisimbra nanasa taka. Abrakisondo bodidisi mandanasa. Glomakashiti. Oh, glory to Bakadeshi. Mandana. Thank you. Thank you. Mandareshiti. Oh, Mangaradashiti. Thank you for healing. There it is. There it is, my good friend, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen in his body. I want to give you praise. I agree with him right now. Life, the life-giving force of Jesus injected throughout the entire being, killing every cell that's come against his body. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. There it is. Woo! Glory to God. Mandare kisha mananishi. Oh, blana makana dishi. Just go ahead and praise me. Go ahead and praise me, sir. We want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this man. Woo! Glory to God. The power of God just went into him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. How long have you had this situation? Huh? Yeah? Okay. The power of God went in you. I want to let you know that. And you drove this thing out. Say, thank God I'm healed. There it is. Thank you. I believe it. I receive it. It's there. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There it is. Woo! 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you have a stomach problem?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting in my spirit.
I know,
yeah. The Lord told me. In the name of Jesus, there it is. There it is. Woo! Glory to God. Free! Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You're free. You're free. You're free. Yeah, you're free. In Jesus' name. Let's give these guys a hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe. This guy says, well, how do you know that? Well, gifts of the Spirit. Holy Spirit knows. Praise God. Well, have a wonderful afternoon. Remember tonight, those of you, you've been given a little notice about an activity. Praise God. You all coming tonight? Amen. Praise God. All right, have a wonderful day. Those of you that are watching online, thank you again. We'll see you next time on Wednesday, same time, a different hour. Praise God. Or different, same place, different hour. Bless you. Have a wonderful day.